old Cephas was coming to town, and I still had a little cash. I bought me a couple of nosebleed tickets way up.
Welcome back in the zone on the Buzz Radio Network. Justin Akery, Wally Hall, and Matt Stell, as well as Matty T. Of course, we go right to the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us. Michael, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. How about you?
Well, considering the Razorbacks have had the kind of year they've had, I think we're all doing pretty well. Nobody's looked for a bridge to jump off recently, so that's good.
It's been a tough one for the Hogs, man.
How do you feel about this week?
I know last time that we talked, we were talking about where they were going to find that win and what they could do, and this was the weekend that I kind of pointed to. This is the weekend that I got my dates right. This is the weekend I pointed to, Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is Mississippi State feels like they wasted an opportunity. That said, I think this is the one. This is it. I'm feeling it. I think this is the weekend that they get things together and they find a way to win. I look at Mississippi State, and we'll see what happens with Dak Prescott. I look at this team, and I think Mississippi State's a team that can be beat, especially without Prescott. If he doesn't play, we're talking about a team that really loses an added dimension, and they can be beat, especially when you got this game at home.
Yeah, we talked to their play-by-play guy yesterday. It sounded like he was convinced that he would not play and that Russell was only questionable coming off that concussion. So if they're at third string, I would say Arkansas has an extremely good look at it.
Yeah, that's been the tough thing. Dak Prescott, they're slow playing everybody. Prescott, Russell, we'll see what happens. I look at this, and, man, if they're running Damian Williams out there, he's a kid. And if you can't, this is the opportunity for Arkansas to take advantage of.
Okay, so we were in a pretty good debate earlier about Mullen, and there was a story about him being on the hot seat, and he's got, of course, the vote of confidence from his AD, which means he's for sure on the hot seat. He's averaging, if he did not include this season, he's averaging a little over 7 wins a year. If he loses out, including a loss to an Arkansas team that hasn't won an SEC game, and an Ole Miss team, which, as we pointed out earlier, is kind of like losing 2 games, he would drop to 6.6 wins per year on average in his 5 years at Mississippi State. Do you think he's in any trouble if he loses out?
I think he's absolutely in trouble. What he did when he came in there and cranked out a couple really good seasons was he got folks thinking, hey, at some point we're going to take that move. We're going to make that move. We're going to take that jump to the next level. We're going to start to compete, and that just never happened. I think Mississippi State kind of pulled right back to where they'd always been, right down right at the bottom. And so it's tough on him, and then it's even worse when you see Ole Miss. They're watching Ole Miss beat LSU. They're watching Ole Miss push A&M to the brink. They're watching Ole Miss be a good football team. They're ranked in the top 25 right now. It's even tougher for Mississippi State fans to kind of reconcile what they're seeing Ole Miss do with what they're not getting out of their coach and their program.
Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Also, we debated the Heisman earlier. I think, and it's no knock on Winston, I think it is a no-brainer that Manziel should win this year with the numbers he's had and what he's been able to do. They're 8-2, and this team is so terrible defensively. Obviously, Evans has helped him substantially, but the guy has the highest completion percentage of any quarterback in America this year. He's thrown for over 3,300 yards. He's been responsible for, 39 touchdowns or 38 touchdowns? I don't see how you deny the kid.
Yeah, look, you don't have to convince me. I was kind of splitting the fence on Winston and Manziel. I thought both of them have played really good. I think Winston's had the best quarterbacking year. I think Manziel's had a great quarterback. Probably the second best year of a quarterback. It's just simply because there's some times when he makes some bonehead mistakes, but at the same time, he's having the best year of a football player in college. I truly believe that, and kind of sat down and talked Winston down to myself and talked Manziel up, because I started looking at more of the things that he did, not just the numbers, but how much he means to his team. And it's not an MVP award, but the fact that everybody knows he's the guy that has to do something and then he still gets it done, I think that holds a lot of weight. That's a lot of pressure that a lot of guys crumble under. He stood up to the test of time. And for me, I love watching this kid play, because it's a quarterback. He wants to win as bad as anybody else out there, and he's going to do what it takes to get it done.
Is there anybody close for you that's worth the price of admission?
You know what? I think Bryce Petty's kind of working his way up there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it clearly is these two guys. It's these two and everybody else. I think Bryce Petty's slowly working his way up there. Mariota may get an invite. But as far as voting goes and who's going to win, it's got to be one of these two in my mind.
Really? Okay, so you don't have Winston in the top couple?
No, one of Manziel and Winston, the top two.
Okay, I thought you were throwing Petty in there. I'm
Mariota,
sorry.
I think Mariota, Bryce Petty might get an invite, but it's those two. Winston and Manziel are the top two. They're clearing away ahead of the other guys.
We spent 10 minutes talking about McCarron's value and McCarron's merit. Do you think he gets invited to New York?
I think he might end up getting invited, sort of in the same way that Colt McCoy got invited. He's not going to win this award, but I think certainly there's some folks that kind of look at him and think, man, look what he's accomplished, on track to at least try for his third ring. He's grown from a game manager during championship number one to he's a quarterbacking force. He's a very quarterback, talking to some guys that work in the NFL. They really, really like A.J. McCarron more than Teddy Bridgewater, more than some of the other, more than Taj Boyd. So I think that he's a good quarterback. I think he'll get an invitation. I think he might get an invitation, but he's going to be on the outside looking in, same as the rest of those guys.
Speaking of Bryce Petty, Baylor versus Ohio State, the debate has been raging, and everybody can point to, well, this schedule's worse than this schedule. Obviously, the Big Ten is horrendous, although you do have two ranked teams playing each other this week that do not include Ohio State. So there are a couple of teams that are at least worth a darn up there. Who do you like better? And by hearing what you said about Petty, I'm going to guess that you're leaning towards Baylor. But who do you like, and who do you think at the end of the day will finish third if Alabama and Florida State don't lose?
I think Baylor finishes third. Don't get me wrong. I think all four of those teams at the top are really good. I don't think there's more than a touchdown, maybe a touchdown and a field goal separating those four teams. I think I'd take Baylor a little bit over Ohio State, not by much. I love Baylor's team, and it's taken me a while to come around on this. Not because their offense is good. Their offense was good a year ago. Their offense was good 2 years ago when they put up, 70 points in the Alamo Bowl. The difference for me is their defense. They're getting good play out of Suleiman Masumbuko. They've got three linebackers, starting with Sam Hull, that hybrid defensive back linebacker, Bryce Hager in the middle, and Eddie Lackey on the edge. They're getting good play out of them. I think Sean Oakman's a heck of a football player, and Ahmad Dixon's one of the best safeties in the country. They're getting really good play out of their defense. That's the difference in this team. And I think their defense is a little bit better than Ohio State's defense. Ohio State still doesn't know what to do when it comes to defending the underneath pass. Bill Kubik carved them up. If he had better players and a better defense, Bill Kubik's team would have had a chance to get back into that ballgame after the halftime. Talk about this Illinois game this past weekend. Mm-hmm. But they still have those are the problems that they had against Northwestern, the problems they had against California, and they continue to manifest themselves throughout the season. So until they get that fixed, I got to go give Baylor a little bit of an edge.
Hey, Michael, Florida State finishes up with Idaho and Florida. Idaho's got one win. I think Florida's got four. Could that askew the computers in the final tally?
I think it'll have an impact with the computers, but the fact of the matter is two thirds of the formula is voting points in terms of the human polls, and because of that, Florida State's not going to drop. They're not going to get out of the two slot. Nobody's going to move them around, and they still play an ACC championship game against, let's be honest, a not very good team from the Coastal Division. But they're going to remain ahead because of where they stand in the human polls. I mean, if you look at their BCS numbers right now, Florida State's still one. They're 1-2 in every single computer. They may see a team jump them, but you look up and down this list, you see, Baylor's going to probably end up maybe getting a couple, one or two spots. But Florida State, they're tied with Alabama in the computers to be the number one team. I don't think it's going to affect them nearly enough because they're going to keep being number two in the human polls.
Michael Felder, BleacherReport.com, joining us on the Stickies Rock and Roll Chicken Shack Hotline. Baylor is on the road this weekend, probably their best test left, with all due respect to Texas. They are at Stillwater this weekend against Oklahoma State, another explosive team offensively. Do you think they will be challenged? Do you think they win comfortably? What's your expectation there?
I think they get challenged early, but Oklahoma State's going to realize what we just talked about, that Baylor defense is for real. I think that Oklahoma State realized they could run the ball a little bit with Clint Shelf. Baylor's going to have to load up the box to stop the run first because everything Oklahoma State does is off the run. Something that didn't think we'd be saying about the Cowboys at the start of the year, but it's completely true now. They make their hay by running the ball first, making teams stop the run, and then using play action to go over the top and stretching the field once you add an extra defender into the box. So we'll see what Clint Shelf can do. I think they have a little bit of success early, but Baylor kind of battens down the hatches, ends up pulling away at the end. But this game's going to be interesting. Again, I don't expect to see Lake Seastrunk play this game. I think Shaq Linwood's going to get the bulk of the carries. Yeah, he's questionable right now. I don't expect to see a ton of him. He was hurt. He sat out last week, didn't play very much against Oklahoma after getting hurt. So he's a guy that obviously he's missed a game. He's missed almost two whole games right now. And going into Oklahoma State, it's going to be an interesting one. I think we're going to see a heavy dose to Shaq Linwood, who has played really well while Lake Feaster's been out.
We were talking about that game's a 9.5-point line, by the way. OSU is an underdog at home. LSU is giving 4 points to A&M, which, you know, again, I think Manziel could lock things up this weekend with a big performance against an LSU team. He struggled against last year, and certainly they're not nearly as good defensively. One game we've not talked a lot about, really, is Missouri and Ole Miss. It's being played in Oxford, and Missouri's obviously trying to stay on track to win the East and have a chance to play in the championship game. Now they're talking Franklin's going to be back this week, and they're going to start him, which, again, he's a senior. I could see that. Mock has played well, though. This will be a challenging game, I would think. What do you think they should do with the quarterbacks, and how do you feel about Missouri's chances this week?
I think Missouri's got a good chance. I expect them to win this ball game in Oxford. The thing about the quarterback that I like is he came back last week. They had a bye. He got to practice and work himself in, and now he's going to be the starter. I like what they're doing. I think he's going to be just fine. I think there may be a little rust early, but, I mean, this is football is football, and he's played enough football as a senior, the way you mentioned. This isn't going to be something that's all brand new to him. He's played a lot of football. He's got a lot of games under his belt. So I expect him to come out and look okay. The big thing for him, though, if you're James Franklin, you've been sitting on the sidelines kind of rubbing your hands together thinking, man, this is it. Because Doriel Green Beckham and LaDainian Washington have stepped up huge playing with Matty Malk. Now they get James Franklin back. I think they're going to really make some offensive fireworks explode. But I think this is a game that we're going to see a lot of points. I'm going with Mizzou here. I just think they got a little bit better defense, even though Ole Miss is getting healthy too. I think Mizzou's got a little bit better defense, and we should see – I expect to see the Tigers seal the deal in terms of getting to the hopefully we'll come closer to sealing the deal to getting to the SEC championship game.
Michael, I hate to end on a negative note, but I'm just curious from a Bleacher Report standpoint how you guys have handled the Winston allegations or conversation, I guess, and what you're hearing is going to come out of that, if anything.
Obviously, for me, it's a touch and go situation. It's unfortunate. Obviously, you have to think of the victim first, but for me, there's no charges. It's all allegations, and it's allegations where the police and nobody knows what's going on. So I think the best thing to do is to keep an eyeball on it, but treat him as an innocent person because he's right now he is innocent. So I think until something changes his status in terms of a formal charge being given, I think you've got it. It's wise to treat it as such because the last thing that you want to do is take a guy that's innocent, brand him, because that stuff's tough. It's tough to undo those things.
Yeah, you know, and I hate it because when I was a Cub reporter back in the day, these are the kinds of things that would not have gotten out. At least there would have been rumors. Yeah. There would have been conversation. I don't think any legitimate publication or outlet would have reported this. But because of the fact that there is, somewhat of a blogosphere out there, and I'm not considering, you know, Bleacher Report in the same way, but you know what I'm talking about. There's certain outlets that will report anything where there's a smattering of information. And then the university or whoever the official outlet, they have to legitimize it because there's conversation and there's a story there, even though it's not something that would have been reported in the past unless there were actual charges filed. This is something that should not have gotten out, I don't think, and probably wouldn't have 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, even with the way that it leaked out, it's clear there's whether it's the TIP, whether it's the Tallahassee Police Department, or it's, you know, somebody with the program. It's clear that this was leaked out at an opportune time, and I think that's the thing. Charlie Ward mentioned it on Saturday during the game. It's one of those things that it's pretty clear that this was not it. It wasn't an accident. Someone didn't stumble upon this.
Yeah.
This was kind of leaked information, sourced information to get out in an effort, you know, whether it was to hurt Florida State or hurt Winston, whatever it is. This was put out there on purpose, and then obviously when you can get TMZ, when TMZ can get hands on something like this, they run with it, especially with the new desire to get into the sports industry. Look, I agree with you 100%. I was a football player in college. I'm not talking about sexual assault here, but I am saying that there were guys that, you know, whether they were arrested or had no fight, the last thing that we wanted was, man, we don't need the news to find out about this. And people did everything they could to kind of hold it down, and I think now, because, you know, whether it's a student or someone that can turn a quick buck, they leak stuff out.
Yeah.
You know, you become a part of this story, and it becomes, there is a culture of it around there. And I don't think it's just blog. I think we're talking about TMZ is not just a blog. I mean, that's something that they, this is what they, where they made their living on, and they're trying to get, they're climbing into the sports atmosphere to do the same thing that they did with celebrities.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to misunderstand. If there's a legitimate story here, I have no problem with it. If charges are filed, I have no problem with it. It's absolutely something we should be talking about. But before charges were filed back in the day, if there wasn't a charge filed, we were not allowed to go on the air with it.
Let's be honest, too. TMZ, they act like they're reporting, but they're really entertaining.
That's true.
Right. But, and they've also an entertainment element to all of it. The issues is, for their mode of entertaining, it's something, and it's part of the culture in America. There's a culture in America that feeds off of not just building stars up, but then also finding flaws, looking for ways to tear them down. And there's so little, it's so reckless in terms of, hey, you know what, we got that wrong, I take it back, we're sorry.
Yeah.
There's never that element. I think that's the part that scares me, when there's people that may lump this in as something that's a done deal. And then they'd never go back and say, oh, wait, I was wrong about that.
And on a situation like this, it's not like stealing something or something. There is such a stigma with a sexual assault claim that it is hard to undo all the damage, no matter what happens, no matter how you handle it. It's hard to undo any sort of implication whatsoever. So that's what, to me, is extremely unfortunate. That's why you don't report it in the first place. And then you don't have to go back and go, oops, sorry, there was nothing there. My bad.
Yeah, and for the young lady involved, like they, this isn't something I highly doubt. This is something that she wants to plaster all over the front of television. And
right.
So it's just it's not a good situation for anybody.
Right.
And
no, I hate it for her too. Obviously,
for the folks that unless you're someone that can make money off it.
Right. Michael, we appreciate it so much. Thanks for the conversation, and we'll talk to you again here in a couple of weeks. And the Heisman picture will be coming even further into focus.
Thanks so much, guys. You take it easy.
All right, take care. Good conversation, as always, Michael Felder. We'll be back to wrap up this hour and say goodbye to Wally Hall in a moment. Limited edition. Let's do some simple edition. $50 for a
t-shirt. That's just some ignorant. Are the tax collectors hounding you? Then blow them away with Tax Blasters.